And on the subject of emails, a week or so ago, Jim emailed The Weekend to ask, why do some of your guests say "you know" all the time? It's very distracting. They would be better to pause rather than filling the space. By the way, your elocution is excellent. Keep up the good work, Jim. Well, I'm not entirely sure that's correct, Jim, in relation to my own elocution. I often find myself using filler words, particularly when it's off the cuff. But most of us are guilty about using filler words like and "you know" when we're speaking. But is it really a problem? So following Jim's email, I thought we would find out more. And we got hold of Jane Sheffield from Effective Speaking, and she's on the line. Kia ora, Jane.
Hi, Karen.
It's not just the and "ahs," is it? And the "you knows," there's the "so" to start a sentence. Just got a text about that. There are so many filler words. Why do we use them?
Look, the traditional filler words such as "ums," "ahs," "you know," and you also didn't mention "like." You hear a lot of "likes" these days, are really just a case of us verbalising our hesitations. So we're not particularly comfortable with silence. So to fill the void, we use these filler words.
So we're thinking, and it's a bridge between our thoughts, our verbalisation. Yes.
It's simply a bridge whilst we think about what we want to say next.
Are you consciously stopping yourself now from using them?
Like you, Karen, I speak as a living, so for sure I do speak as concisely as possibly, for sure. And this is something that I train a lot of people on because fillers are really common.
As part of everyday conversation, is it problematic that we use them?
No, not really. They're really normal and it's not too much of an issue. When it becomes an issue is when they get in the way of us communicating the message that we want to communicate. So, for example, if we're using so many fillers that our message is actually getting lost in the sentence, or if we're using so many fillers that our audience start to become fixated on our fillers rather than what we are actually saying.
I often wonder if there's a difference between, for example, if you're listening on the radio or you're watching television, you're listening to a podcast, although they are pretty much pre-recorded, so all those filler words are out. But whether there's a difference when you're nervous and you're using a filler word than when you're speaking in everyday conversation.
I think so. They are definitely more common when somebody is feeling uncomfortable. So if somebody's feeling very nervous or unsure of what they're saying, so you mentioned before that you often use it when you're speaking off the cuff.
Yes.
When we're thinking about what we want to say next is when we start to use our fillers. And also when I'm training somebody doing business presentations, they obviously are feeling very nervous. So you will start to hear a lot of fillers then as well.
This texter says, first sentence starting, "look, that's a real Aussie filler."
Sure. I use "so" quite a lot.
So do I, yes.
No. Notice that I use "right." Also, if you are looking for an agreement from the people you're speaking to, often you will hear people saying "right, you know," in a way for them to ensure that they're on track.
And agree with you.
Yeah.
All right. So you teach people how to stop this in conversation. What do you teach them?
Well, what I won't do is get them to focus on the fillers themselves. So if I'm training somebody and I say to them, look, you just want to stop those ums and ahs. Oh, look, there you go again, there's another . All that's actually going to do is get them feeling very self-conscious, and that gets in the way of them communicating their message. So instead, what I find is really effective is to get them to focus on doing something positive. And what works is using a technique called chunking.
That chunking.
Is talking in chunks of words with pauses in between. So if anybody wanted to give this a go themselves, what I would get you to do is think about some kind of complex process that you follow on a day-to-day basis. So it might be a process that you follow at work, or it might be a process that you follow at home. For example, how you cook your favourite recipe. As you are explaining this process, they could try chunking, talking in chunks of words with pauses in between.
stopping and then starting again. Now that you've mentioned that, Jane, I think we do have a clip of Barack Obama, who is apparently a very good chunker. Let's have a listen to him.
We are the heirs of the fortitude and foresight of generations past. And it is a legacy for which my own country is rightfully proud. And yet, a decade into a new century, this old architecture is buckling under the weight of new threats. The world may no longer shudder at the prospect of war between two nuclear superpowers, but proliferation may increase the risk of catastrophe. Terrorism has long been a tactic, but modern technology allows a few small men with outsized rage to murder innocents on a horrific scale.
That's Barack Obama as an example of chunking and stopping and starting. I'm talking to Jane Sheffield from Effective Speaking about eliminating filler words. He's good at it, isn't he?
He's great. He is what I would call a natural-born chunker, for sure. Also, we have other politicians or ex-politicians. Tony Blair is a natural-born chunker. Also, a little bit closer to home, Ashley Bloomfield. When you're listening to him in the initial COVID press conferences, answering questions from the press, very concise, natural-born chunker.
Natural-born, haven't practiced.
I'd say you are quite a natural-born chunker as well, Karen, to be honest. And you'll hear it in a lot of newsreaders. It's a very normal way for people that speak as a living to communicate.
The long pauses are very effective too, and that's difficult when you're speaking publicly because time gets distorted. And if you have to do something like a speech yourself, perhaps you have to say something at a funeral or a wedding, it's difficult, isn't it?
It is difficult. But the reality is, nobody minds you pausing. Pauses definitely help with drama, and that's what Barack Obama is doing here, suspense and drama. But when we're standing up there in front of, because our mind is working so much faster than our mouth, those pauses are really exaggerated to ourselves. So we feel they're a lot longer than they actually are.
Well, how do you make sure that you don't pause too much?
Well, you could record yourself if you wanted to, but if you were stopping between every word, you'd start to sound a little bit like a robot, for sure. But most of the time, you will find that people don't pause enough. They get very nervous and they start to talk a little bit like a steam train and they actually forget to breathe. So it's very rare that somebody is pausing too much.
This person says that it's funny listening to this conversation about fillers. It's very stilted and you're both trying so hard. Too true.
My husband did say to me, now make sure you don't use any fillers on this call, Jane.
You're chunking. You're doing very well with chunking. What if you don't pause at all? There's people who just don't stop and you're waiting to find a gap that you can say something. They have no fillers at all. Perhaps they have fillers, but they have no pauses.
Yeah, that's very common, and that's difficult for an audience to listen to. A lot of advice is when somebody is getting up to speak, is to slow down. Now, I actually wouldn't encourage somebody to slow down because I don't know about you, but listening to an incredibly slow presentation is pretty painful. But what I would get them to do is to practice chunking, and what that does is, for a start, allows them a minute to breathe, which you need to do, and it also just allows time for the audience to actually understand what they've just said. So they still get that energy and pace, which you want, but it gives your audience time to comprehend the message as well.
This texter says, Brian from Tauranga says, hi Karen, my current pet annoyance is when the interviewee says, that's a good question.
That, as a response, definitely becomes a bit of a crutch. And people use that as a response simply to give themselves time to think about that question. But what happens is you use it again and again, so people pick up on it. And also, what happens then when somebody asks you a question and you don't say that? Does that mean that that question's not any good? So rather than pulling out that phrase, what you could do is simply paraphrase that question back as a technique to give yourself time to think about the answer, but also just to ensure that you've understood the question correctly as well.
About recording yourself, that's always horrendous for most people, having to do that. But you'd have to record yourself speaking with somebody candidly.
Well, what I use a lot of is, sure, you can record people and you can videotape them if it's a very important presentation or speech that you're giving. But something that I use a lot of is just simply my voice memo app on my phone. And if I am going to be talking or I'm doing a speech of some description, I simply record myself on my phone, listen back and check if you're using fillers, what sentences you like, whether you're being concise or not. And that's just a really easy way to listen to what you're saying with more of an objective lens.
And Jane, for effective speaking, what form does the course take?
Well, what we do a lot of in-house courses or we do our public courses, and people come along for 2 days. I teach them how to write a presentation, so how to construct their message in a valuable way for their audience. And then we also how to deal with nerves and different anxieties. And then they actually get up and present on the second day and we record them. So again, yes, it's slightly uncomfortable watching yourself on video, but once we get over that and we leave our egos at the door, it's an incredibly effective way to look at what works for you, because obviously it's a very personal process. The way that you're going to get up and speak is going to be different from the way that I get up to speak. So different things work for different people.
A wonderful subject. Thank you very much, Jane. And where can we get hold of Effective Speaking? Are you online? You obviously are.
We are indeed. Effectivespeaking.co.nz. You'll be able to find us.
Look, it's been great talking to you.
Thank you, Karen. Watch your fillers today.
I will try to. Thanks. That's Jane Sheffield from Effective Speaking.